Bueno.
Shannon was going to get with the exec.
We're on the air, Health and Social Services Committee, meeting here on April the 18th on this Holy Thursday, 2:30 to 4 o'clock p.m. I want to welcome everybody for your attention. Go right now into a prayer. I'm going to ask Congresswoman Lemon if you'd give us an afternoon prayer.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, please join us and join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power,
Glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much for that prayer. Roll call, please, for our presence.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Speaker Walker? Congressman Nason?
Present. Next is on our agenda is approval of the minutes. So if you look at the minutes, please review those. If there's any corrections, additions, deletions, or burning, let me know.
Motion to approve the minutes for April 16.
Motion's been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
And I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed say no, and the minutes are approved. Going on to item number 5 is consideration of ONCA 19 and 10. An act to establish family medical leave in law for Osage Nation full-time employees and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards, are you in the house? Send them both out here. We're on our clock. Send them out here. Thank you very much. Congresswoman Edwards, we are considering ONCA 1910. Going to give you the floor. I think Ms. Tiffany Tracy from HR is also here on invitation, your invitation. So inviting you, Ms. Tracy. You'd like to join us up here? What? Bang around the end of that thing.
Yeah, it's working. Showing that it's working? Okay. So this is the bill that I believe has been discussed once, and it's in the committee. And it's a bill that needs some work, and I went and met, I think I've said this before, met with the HR director and the benefits specialist, is that her title? Benefits administrator, to discuss this bill. I think this is a bill that needs to stay in committee, and it needs to be worked in committee. And we've done that before, and we know how to do that, and that doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to be able to get out in 10 or 15 minutes. It means it's going to need to go, we're going to need to go through it and make the considerations. And with Ms. Tracy's input and help, I think we can get this bill to a point where it will be satisfactory. I do think it's important to move family leave outside the realm of policy and put it into law. Now, If people disagree with that, then I guess you can have a policy that can change or be eliminated at any time. But I do know that there are people that end up exhausting their leave at the nation, and that I believe ought to have an opportunity to take time off and care for their family members, having been there myself and knowing that, frankly, it was met with a lot of hostility in some circles, which made it even more stressful than it already was. So I would like for our employees to be able to have the expectation that this is what's going to happen. This is in law. It's not going to change tomorrow. It would have to go through a process to change. But I do think it's going to need some sustained work, and I appreciate the HR director's review of it. But I think we need to work with her as well to come up with and hear from her on what I'm going to consider was a first stab at making this bill work. So that's my talk.
Thank you for your observations of this. Ms. Tracy, what? Let me ask you this. This is, you heard Congresswoman Edwards, but what's your feeling on your observations? You need some more time with this piece of legislation before we can kick it out to the full Congress?
Yes, sir. There are a couple of areas that I visit with Congresswoman Edwards about, some questions about the policy and whether it is the law, how we should look at it. Should we look at it more as from the federal standard or from what Osage Nation does as it applies to family medical leave? And there was a couple of areas, and I think we discussed them, whether this is a paid or unpaid leave, because that's going to make a big difference in how this is administered.
Any members of the committee, again, if you have any observations, we're hearing a couple of the sponsor as well as Ms. Tracy kind of expressed that they need a little more time with this document before presenting it fully to us as a committee and for us to consider us recommending it anyways out to the floor. Members of the committee, any thoughts, wishes? Ms. Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to request, if you haven't, a fiscal analysis, if it is going to possibly be a paid FMLA under Osage law, just so that we can see where it's going to take us as far as that goes. And
it's just not intended to be paid.
Okay. I didn't know that. So thank you. So there's no further appropriations that would be needed in your, how it currently is written.
There may need to be some clarity about that, that it's not paid. But in discussing this with Ms. Tracy, we discussed the fact that this could, that there are a few options, and you help me with this. You can use your PTO as one of the areas that you can use. Then we have a short-term disability option. And we have a long-term disability option, which I'm not sure is applicable to this. But then, once those two things were exhausted, then this could kick in.
This would run, typically, best practices FMLA will run concurrently with a PTO or short-term disability. So it's not an addition.
Well, that one I didn't know, because I thought it was important. Because if you only, well, how much would the short-term disability allow for then?
Typically, it is 6 months, but it depends on the rider. I have to get that in front of me to look at.
Okay, well, I think we definitely need that because, and as I think you indicated, you can use your short-term disability if you're going to care for a family member?
For the short-term, it is the employee. The FMLA, we actually, in policy, we meet the federal standards of FMLA. And the question was, you know, what would be the problem with adopting the federal standards? Because as the federal law changes, which FMLA is one that we have to apply with, we have to be in compliance with, as it changes, we would have to go, you guys would have to go back in and change Osage law to make sure that we're in compliance with the federal law that we have to follow.
Okay. Mrs. Goodfox, who has her experiences in HR as well.
And that is why I'm not in favor of putting this in law. I think that if you have suggestions to the executive branch about how you would like to see it change, they could take that into consideration with policy. But FMLA can change yearly. And if someone's not staying on top of it, not, we don't know. We may have a change of, a full change of staff in the HR department. And then they have to get caught up to speed with what the process is. Oh, this is in law. And then you may have a full change up over here. Every other year.
I'm willing to put in law that we're going to follow the FMLA then. But again, I do not fully understand how the nation works with respect to federal law, because I think that there are areas that we don't follow federal law in. And we say, we being the nation, that we're not bound to do that. So,
well, we do say that. You hear people say, well, we're sovereign. But even the casino, there are things that we may not have to follow, but we do. We follow HIPAA. We follow ADA. And so...
I'm not sure we follow ADA.
At the casinos? Yes, we do.
Probably at the casino, but not at the nation necessarily. But the other thing I know is, for example, I'll give you an example. Remember when we set our workers' compensation policy? We didn't follow. We made our own workers' compensation policy and put our own deadlines and reporting periods, et cetera, in place. So I'm willing to look at having the law that says we will follow the federal law with respect to FMLA. So that I'm absolutely willing to do that. But I don't know that I understood, which makes sense, but when we were discussing this, I was under the impression that you would be able to do more than just utilize your PTO in order to, because you could do that anyway. You wouldn't need FMLA to say, I'm just going to take my PTO.
Stabler, please.
With FMLA, you have to use your PTO, any leave that you have first. That's the top of the list. What FMLA does, it secures your job
so
that you can come to work. That's all it is. And so you use all of your PTO first, then you're off the wage until you come back to work. Now, I agree with you. If we're going to follow federal law, let's write one that says we're going to follow federal law. Because that's where I'm having difficulty here, is getting it to either match with what we're doing now.
Okay.
And the federal law is clear that it is unpaid, and this one was just silent.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
That's true.
That was the paragraph that I was hung up on.
I have one more question. So is the short-term disability available then for people that are taking maternity leave? Because that was the other thing we were discussing.
Short-term disability could apply, yes. Maternity, is that what you say? Paternity.
Maternity.
Yeah. Ms. Lemon?
Sorry, Chair. Thank you very much. I believe my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that if you have a medical condition of any kind, which being pregnant is a medical condition, that if your rider on your policy for your short-term disability, if that is an allowable, and I believe that it is, because you have to get a doctor's examination and then a doctor's note for your short-term disability to kick in if you've used all your PTO.
So do we have a rider? Or do you know?
There is a rider on all policies. I would have to look at that rider.
So, Chairman, I appreciate the expertise of the people at this table, which is why I wanted to take our time. I've got HR, I've got health people, which is why I wanted to take our time and work this bill, not just, be in and out. So I was hoping that we would have the interim to work on it some, and it's not for, how do you put it, primed? It's not yet ready for prime time.
Not ready for prime time, and without any objection, going to postpone any more considerations of ONCA 1910 and have our sponsor, Ms. Edwards and Ms. Tracy and any of us here at the committee continue working on this and getting some of the rough edges down and be able to bring it back next time. Ms. Goodfox.
So the last couple of years when I have a piece of legislation that I'm working on in the interim, I have found that, and if I'm going to collaborate with executive, us kind of making at least a determination like the month of July, and this is what I did when I was working with Libby Gray on some legislation, like maybe we can meet in July and August at least once or twice with executive and as a committee and kind of work through the interim before we get to, so that at least we've met a couple of times before fall session. That's what I would like to do as a committee. This committee may change.
That's why I was hopeful that.
But any of us that are sitting on health for the next year, we might consider that. I know June's completely out.
Well, all I can say is that I heard something in the Ten Commandments with it, so it shall be written, so it shall be done. So we consider that to be done, and we'll table this, and hopefully this committee will stay intact, and we'll deal with this on down the line. Next is consideration of ONCA 1934, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $263,017 in federal funds to Community Health Representative and to establish an alternate and effective date. Sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Pratt, are you close by? Are you in the building? Congresswoman Pratt. First call. Congresswoman Pratt's ONCA 1934.
She's on her way.
She's on her way from
the back room.
The back room. Oh.
Here's your closet.
There's some good desserts left over back there, I know.
So. Hey, that's not where I was.
Consideration of ONCA 1934. Congresswoman Pratt, you are the sponsor. We're going to turn the floor over to you,
Dana.
And you might have
some help
from...
Sure. We have Ms. Revert, Jody Revert, and Crystal Standing Bear with us.
Hey, ladies, would you join us here at
come
the table
on up, but this, and
see what direction we're going to take with 19 and 34, ONCA 1934.
Right. This is regarding the... arrival of the federal funds, and I do have a committee substitute that I am having stamped in right now. She's going to get you a copy of.
We need our stamped copies of our committee substitute for us to consider. So yes. Those of you on listening in, bear with us for just a few minutes. We'll take just a short rain delay, and then we'll be... right up to the table and
Sure.
Ms. Pratt, and while we're doing the committee substitutes, Congresswoman Pratt, again, just give us an overview of your committee substitute before we have it in hand, or perhaps okay. We just should wait just for a moment.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Well, with this bill is amending the 1848, the big bill, which they were originally appropriated $384,000 in tribal funds, and they have spent $121,000. $460, so there's a new table in here, showing that, and then their non-tribal revenue, which is their federal funds, of $262,619. So this does what it states in the title. It amends 1848 and appropriates the $262,619 in federal funds to the community health representative, and then reduces the tribal funding in the amount of $262,809.
Okay, and Congresswoman Pratt, again, for a listening audience, reason for the dollars and cents and how some of these figures have bounced around, and the United States federal government went into a holding pattern earlier in the year, of which federal funds were just on hold. We didn't get any back here, and we had to make that determination that the community health representatives were very much needed, and this Congress made the decision to use tribal dollars to continue this service, awaiting federal dollars, if that is my overview of it. Am I correct in that?
Yes. And I was not on this committee during that time of appropriation, so I don't know. Like, I can, let's say, for instance, the JOM. I do recall being part of that conversation in, okay, we're going to appropriate tribal funds, and then when we receive the federal funds, because they had been cut at the time, but then talks of an expectation of them, and so when they, at the time when they come in, then they would, I want to try to use a better term than payback or give back, or we would take back.
Reimbursement.
Yeah, sure, okay. and that we would appropriate the federal funds when they came in, and then the tribal funds would return. So that doesn't happen in lots of cases, typically under different circumstances, but here are the circumstances here. So now regarding the CHR, I did not have that specific conversation of the tribal funds and then when their federal funds would come in at that time. So they could probably go further into depth on that portion.
So. Well, let's go into depth. So Ms. Rivard, take us to the deep.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you, Mr. Mason. What we'd like to do, again, in recap, is that exactly what was talked about. We received the federal funds now, and but what we'd like to do is to keep the original amount that was appropriated in 1848, the bottom line, which was the $384,269, and what we'd like to do is we pushed $264,758 towards the federal. What we did was increase the amount of salaries, not literally the amount of salaries, but we pushed the percentage over because we want to be able to receive more contract support. I think Congresswoman Stabler will understand that. The more you push in salaries, you get contract support to support those programs that are under self-governance. And we'd like to keep the tribal at 122,173. Understand there's the discussion of reducing the tribal dollars, but what happened originally was back in during CJO's session, Crystal, she evaluated her program, provided us need that was approved through legislation based on our annual plan to support that amount of $384,000, and we're asking that we keep it at that, the bottom line, federally and tribally. Did that make any sense?
That's pretty deep, but I'm going to try and understand. So we're saying that in order to continue our services through CHR, we need this amount federal and this amount tribal.
Yes.
I'm going to acknowledge our legislative advisor here, Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Chairman. So, is it? Are you saying you want $384,000 and change total? In total, okay. Well, that's what that bill will do. It's simply reducing the original tribal appropriation by $262,000 and then giving you the federal. So I think everybody's on the same page. I just want to make sure.
Reduces.
Speaker Walker.
I apologize if I missed this. What's the federal amount that's coming to the nation? 262?
Yes.
Okay. This seems pretty...
It's actually 264,758, but I think part of your normal process is that you guys remove the merit, so you're it never really jives between the executive and...
I was hoping it was that simple. This seems pretty clean and easy to me.
Yeah, so it's that less the merit.
Thank you. Members of the committee, any other questions? If not, certainly would entertain any motion or movement from the committee. Congresswoman Goodfox?
I'll make a motion to adopt the committee substitute for bill number ONCA 1934.
Second.
And have a second. Discussion?
Dated April 18th at 3:06.
Thank you. Discussion to the motion? Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Those opposed say no. The committee substitute is approved. Any other motion or movement on the committee substitute?
Okay, thank you.
You guys, I thought that's what she said. Oh, she
adopted the committee substitute.
I can't move.
Speaker Walker.
Or I would.
I make a motion to report out ONCA 1934 as a committee substitute to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second. And I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed say no. I shall report that out. Thank you, committee.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you, our guests.
We appreciate you.
Motion to adjourn.
Whoa, we got one more thing. We can't adjourn yet. This won't take long, I think. Going to consider ONCA 1930, which was postponed, and going back to Congresswoman Lemon, who I think may have a similar request for postponement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would like to postpone item number 7. Call the chair.
Okay, thank you. Without any... What's a good word? Without any objection, consideration of ONCA 1930 is postponed until a later date.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn. Those in favor signify if you agree. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those opposed say curses. The amens have it. We are adjourned. Thank you, committee, and happy Easter. Committee report. Don't go away. Don't go away yet. We have committee report.